Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What a save from Mark Howard.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Today, I've got a top goalkeeper and a proper geezer on. Please welcome Dylan Phillips. How you doing, mate?
Hello, mate. You okay?
Yeah, good, mate. You've got more of a London accent than I have. Mine's got very lost.
Yeah, it's nice. I don't think I'll ever lose that one.
Nah, so. Definitely. Even like you're moving around and that, living up north now, covering at Rotherham.
Yeah, no. We'll always remember my roots, mate. Yeah. Everywhere I go, people always say, you've got an accent. And I have to say to them, no. I'm from the capital. Like, you're the one with an accent. Do you know what
100%.
I mean?
So that's a great way of putting it.
But no. Yeah, it's good to be on, mate.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on. I can't believe you're only 28, mate. I feel like I've known about you for years. I think you broke through quite young, obviously coming through at Cheltenham and stuff. And I've just known about you for a long time. And I'm pretty sure we have met against each other on a pitch a few times. So
yeah, no, it's been... I was sort of pushed in and around the first team environment at quite a young age at Cheltenham. So I did a lot of travelling around the country with Cheltenham as sort of like a number three and from a young age, from sort of 17, 18, and worked with some really good goalies at Cheltenham and some really good goalie coaches as well. And they just wanted me sort of on that journey to see what it was going to be like and see some strange sights in the changing rooms and things like that, but just sort of helped me grow up fast, really, I think. So
it definitely matures you as a goalkeeper when you're, even if you're third, fourth choice, but you're out on the pitch doing the match day warm-up and you know what it's about, don't you? You grow up quicker.
Yeah, and you work in that small group, don't you, with two or three goalies that are normally older than you, so you have to adapt, do you know what I mean? But I've been really lucky with the goalies, especially at Cheltenham that I worked with, and some of the sort of things I learnt off them lads was brilliant, even as going back as far as like Robbie Elliott. I remember being sort of like a 16-year-old, 15, 16, training with Andy Woodman, the goalie coach at the time, and Robbie Elliott. And I just remember I used to think, wow, how good is he? Do you know what I mean? His hands, just that was the first thing I noticed. He didn't drop a ball. Do you know what I mean? He was brilliant. And then there's so many.
There's so many goalkeepers. I want to talk about this as well. Cheltenham have produced a ridiculous amount of goalies. Darren Randolph, Popey, Elliott, yourself.
Yeah.
There's been loads that have come through.
So many as well that come on loan. Do you know what I mean? Ben Hamer wasn't online, but David Button, I remember watching him train. When I trained with him, he was brilliant. Ben Anick was brilliant for a period when he was there. And we had two or three foreign lads come over as well from... We had Thuram, Ilian Thuram's brother, Johan Thuram, the fullback for France. His brother, Johan Thuram, come over on loan from Standard Liège when Cheltenham were owned by Belgium owners. Him and another goalie, Marco Dimitri.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vich, who's now, I think he's Seville's number two.
No way.
And he gets in the Serbia squads. Could be wrong, but I think Serbia squads, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, why do you think Cheltenham have had such a hotbed of goalkeepers?
I don't know, really. I don't know.
Is it the coaches?
I think potentially, yeah. I mean, that was my reasoning for signing for Cheltenham at 8 years old. Yep. Do you know what I mean? I was on trial as a 7-8 year old at all the London clubs, and I could have signed for all of them, really. Yep. But at the time, Charlton was a Premier League side, and at the time, Lee Smelt was the goalie coach at Charlton for the younger age groups, and he was the best out of all of them, and that's why me and my dad made the decision, or my dad made the decision to take me there, because he felt it was the best for my development.
Yep.
They've always been brilliant at developing players, not just goalies, by the way, outfield as well. They've got some, the talent that's come through that football club is unbelievable, really. Yep. So just to sort of be mentioned with some of the names is nice enough. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's a great club with a great academy.
Yep. Right. I've got a couple of quick fire questions just before we get started. So catch or parry?
I've listened to a few of your podcasts and I've heard a few people say.
It's a few good answers, aren't
there? Yeah. I mean, I think I've got to say catch being an English goalkeeper. Yep. But I would say that what I've learned over the last sort of few years is the importance of parrying the ball.
Is sometimes, it's a skill.
Especially with younger goalies. Like I watch younger goalies come up and it's like, oh, you need to be tidy. You need to catch, you need to catch, you need to catch. And then I've heard, was it Jack? I think I listened to his podcast. He said, like, you need to be a good parrier of the ball. Like you do, because in a game, you don't catch many. So catch, but be a good parrier as well.
Yeah, very good. Asmir was the one that was one of the first that went, no, parry.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? And he went, I work on it every day in training because that's what I do in a game. He goes, you don't get a lot of opportunities to catch a shot in a game. So he's put it into perspective. It's a really good shout.
My little brother actually was at Spurs, just a little bit of context. He was at Spurs from like the age of 8 to like 14. And he used to come home and I'd say, oh, what have you worked on today? And it was Alex Walsh, the goalie coach. And I'd say, oh, we've done soft parries today. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
And then I started to think, actually, like, it's good that they're being coached at a soft parry to sort of take the sting off the pace of the ball or whatever. And
it's important for the young ones as well.
Of course
well.
It is, yeah.
Right, tea or coffee?
A coffee.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Easy answer. Drinking a coffee in the way. play short or kick it long? Whatever the manager tells you to do, isn't
it? Yeah. Yeah. I think now I enjoy playing short more because, and especially a few years ago when I first come through at Charlton, partly a couple of managers went, are you good enough to do that? So I had to go away and work on that.
Yep.
And I've worked on it and I feel like I'm more than capable of doing it now. So there's a right time for both. But I do, especially in training and stuff, I enjoy playing short.
Right. Who's the best goalkeeper in the world right now?
I mean, the obvious one in the Premier League is probably Alisson, isn't it?
Yeah.
Courtois.
Yeah.
He's got to be up there.
He's just getting back fit now as well.
And he's injured again.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's done it again. I see something a couple of days ago. I think he's done his meniscus, maybe. So, yeah, he's been back fit and then he's done something again. So, I don't think he'll be fit for the next few games or whatever. But, yeah, one of them two.
Yeah. Who was your favourite goalkeeper growing up?
I mean, probably like when I was growing up in an England shirt, it would be someone like Paul Robinson or something that I used to watch, you know what I mean? And think like my dad was a Leeds fan as well.
Oh,
so, that helped. I was never a Leeds fan myself, but yeah, Paul Robinson.
He used to have some kick on him.
Yeah.
His calf was massive as well, but he could launch a ball.
And he's, I think of who else? Casillas, Oliver Kahn, people like this. But I used to watch Dagenham Ribbage when I was a kid growing up because obviously Dad was a Leeds fan, training 4 days a week, getting back from training, coming back through the Blackwall Tunnel. Yeah. We'd stop at Dagenham on the way home and we'd watch him. And Tony Roberts was the goalie for the whole time that I was watching them, really. And I used to sort of idolise him. As silly as it sounds, they played in the Conference and League Two. And we actually watched them get promoted from League Two to League One. I was probably 13 at the time. And I used to watch him all the time. And it was funny because obviously when he started becoming when he was the Wales goalie coach, I went up to him, and obviously he knew I was through the football industry.
Yep.
And I said to him, you don't quite know who I am, do you? And he was like, what do you mean? I said, like, I used to stand and watch you warm up every day, every game, every home game and some away games. And he looked at me and he could see it clicked, do you know what I mean? And he was like, of course I remember you. I used to ask for his gloves and things like that. So we had quite a good chat down at the Vale, the Cardiff and Wales training ground. But that was, he was someone that I looked up to.
He's gone on to being a really, really good goalkeeper.
Yeah,
coach
he's now with AC Milan, isn't he? Yeah. Wow, that's a great move for him.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Right, long sleeve goalie tops or short sleeve?
I don't even know if they do long sleeve anymore. Do you wear long sleeve?
Well, they do it, but we cut them off, don't
they? Yeah, everywhere. I've been the last... all my Cardiff shirts, all my Ostend shirts and all my Rotherham shirts have been short sleeve.
Crazy, isn't it? So it's just changed.
Yeah, I'd say short sleeve with an Under Armour, to be honest.
But that's what you're training every day.
Yeah.
So it's train how you play. Right, and then final one. It's the last minute of a game. You can either save a penalty that's... means you win the game, or you can go up and score the winner. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'd love to score. Love to score. I remember, I didn't score, but we played Peterborough away for Cardiff, and I went up. It was 2-1. We was losing 2-1 at the time, I believe. Went up, sort of didn't get on the first one. It was looped over my head towards the 18-yard box, and I was the nearest one there, and I've sort of like tackled someone outside of the boot, passed it out wide to Marlon Pack, couple of step-overs, cross, and we scored from it. So I sort of, as we spoke about yesterday, a little major contribution sort of thing. I actually passed it with the outside of my foot, fell over, and sort of half tried to buy a foul as well. And then we scored from it, and the celebrations were great.
Took all the credit.
Yeah, that feeling was brilliant. Yeah. And let alone, what would it feel like scoring a goal? But
Class. Right. I want to talk about how you got into goalkeeping then. So obviously from a young age. Was you an outfielder first?
No, never. I was always a goalkeeper. Played for Pegasus from as young as I can remember. And I actually remember the day that we was there in a huddle and the manager saying, who wants to go in goal? And like no one put their hand up. And I was looking around thinking, well, if no one wants to do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Put my hand up and that was literally it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, we'd win 7, 8, 9 nils and I'd be like sticking my hand up, can I go up front? And I think I might have put a shirt on outfield a few times.
Yeah, of course.
But no, I've never been an outfield player, always been a goalkeeper.
What made you decide to put your hand up?
I don't actually know. I just remember, I can literally, like, it's not like a story that I tell, I can literally remember the field we was on. I know exactly where it is in Dagenham.
Yeah.
And I can literally remember putting my hand up and going like, I'll do that. And I don't even think it was a discussion between me and my dad in the car before, like, where are you going to play? What are you going to do? It was just hand up, when I'm dad, I want to play in goal, bought gloves, and that was it. Do you know what I mean?
did you, obviously, I don't know your background, but did your dad then go, right, I'll take you for some training first and find out if you're any good? Or was it at football you was like...
No, I don't think...
Because at that age, you wouldn't have had any into coaching.
No, there was no goalie coaching. I don't know if maybe... My dad was a massive influence and always... used to come to training and take me things. So I imagine he would have maybe pulled me aside for 10 minutes, whacked a few balls at me, but nothing sticks. Like, I don't really know how I started learning goalkeeping. I mean, I mentioned his name already, Lee Smelt, a fellow who was at Charlton, a goalie coach who I still speak to now, we get on great. That's where I learned to be a goalkeeper. He's the reason why I know the different techniques and things like that. But I don't remember anything younger than that.
So then obviously going in from obviously playing for Pegasus then, when did you then get scouted? Or was it a school game or?
It was, I don't know exactly. I'd be lying if I said something, but we used to play in the league. It was the Echo League at the time. We used to play in the Echo League. We were never the best team. We were sort of mid-table. There was a team that was the best. It was Byron Redstar. Quite a few of my mates who still now are friends. They played for Byron Redstar. We used to get beat all the time, but I used to like them games because I'd always be busy.
Loads to do, yeah.
But like what we do in the summer months is like there'd be little mini tournaments elsewhere and we'd take the best out of the Echo League and we'd go and play in these tournaments. And I'm pretty sure that's where the scouts started to come because everyone in that little team would be like, it was just one of the dads, a fella called Sam Shepherd, Steve Shepherd his name was. He took us wherever we'd go and we'd just go and win these tournaments around the country because we were the best from the Echo League and there was obviously scouts there and I think it was sort of part of it. His dad actually worked for Chelsea as a scout at the time, so he knew they'd be there and that's where all of them players got scouted from.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would have been sort of like one of them Sunday league tournaments sort of thing.
So then going on trial then, not really ever having any goalkeeper coaching, that's a daunting thing to go into your first goalkeeper coaches sessions.
Yeah.
How do you have any memories from them?
Not really, no. Like, I just think I was so like...
Just enjoying the experience.
I was so like, I was quite confident as a kid, do you know what I mean? I didn't really care what people thought and I just threw myself into things. So everywhere we went... And I loved goalkeeping from a young age. So like when I went to Tottenham, for example, I remember it was an indoor facility, Leighton Way. And I was like, well, where's the goalie coach? There wasn't one. So I had to join in with the players and I didn't quite enjoy it as much. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Whereas when I went to Chelsea or Charlton, it was like, right, there was a goalie coach there. So I could do what I enjoyed doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only time it got boring was... when you play on a Sunday and you win 9-0, you didn't touch the ball. But where I knew I was going to get a feel of the ball and I was going to learn things goalkeeping-wise, I enjoyed doing that. I didn't want to be over with the strikers or the midfielders. But yeah, that was my first real taste of goalkeeping, was just going on trial to these clubs. And I loved everything. I would have signed for any of them because they were all great clubs, you know what I mean? But obviously my dad mainly took the decision to go to Charlton because he saw it was the best pathway for me and I probably think he was right at the time.
100%. Yeah. Obviously, like, you're looking at it now and obviously looking at the history of the club that they have produced players-wise and that's incredible. What was the academy system like at Charlton then?
Yeah, really good. Really good. I don't think you appreciate it as much until you sort of get into your scholarship years. Do you know what I mean? I think I could have been sort of, not anywhere, but you go in, you train every day. And apart from Lee, my biggest coach was my dad. Do you know what I mean? I'd get in the car and it was, could you do this better? Could you do that better?
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That was the relationship we had. And he pushed me. Do you know what I mean? And I loved it. There's times, obviously, I didn't love it, but he pushed me for the right reasons. Yep. And it made me the goalie I was, really. I always wanted to get in that car knowing that 100%. I could be like, I've done well today. Do you know what I mean? And I was as big a critic as anyone on myself. I knew when a goal went in, I would sort of, I'd be disappointed. Do you know what I mean? But my dad would always say, well, can you do this a bit better? And it was just food for thought, really. Do you know what I mean?
See those car journeys, they're so vital of like your understanding the game at such a young age as well. Your dad or whoever looks after a child, like to be able to have that journey home and go, can you improve on this? You played well today, but can you do this? Yeah, they're so important in reflection.
Of course, there's always things you can improve on, isn't it? Even still now, do you know what I mean? At our age, you can still improve. Just like, I remember watching the Peter Crouch documentary or something they'd done the other day, and he speaks about his dad and how he sort of, he gave him a bit of stick and he pushed him, but I think everyone did, do you know what I mean? And we were lucky enough to have that, do you know what I mean? There's some people that don't have that, so you got to think yourself lucky, really, that you had that person pushing you in your life and making you better and making you want more.
Yeah, you're clearly a bit of a character as well, and you look obviously really well spoken. But you see, like, the times are changing now in football, and players coming through now are a lot quieter.
Yeah.
But I think it's flipped a little bit. Players are more professional now, but there's not as many personalities. Do you see that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think even like in the changing rooms and stuff, I think. And like around staff, I think it's sort of frowned upon to have too much of an opinion, whereas before I don't think it was.
Yep.
And like I say, when I was that 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old goalie in and around a first-team environment, just being there to watch and learn, I used to see arguments between player, manager. It doesn't really happen anymore. It is really frowned upon. Yep. And I think times change, don't they?
100%,
I do get it. But I don't think there was lack of respect back then. I think it was just the way it was. And I think sometimes you all get on that, you all go with the manager and what he wants to do. But then, now there's like at clubs I've been at, people will have a different idea, but they all just follow. They follow. And then ultimately more managers get sacked now and things like that. But opinions are good, I think. Yeah. I love to talk. I could sit here with you all day, talk, argue about like a goal that's gone in. And I wouldn't walk away going, oh, why is he arguing with me?
Yeah.
I like that we differ in opinions because why not? Do you know what I mean? There's no harm in that. And I think I'd love to go into coaching and managing and whatnot. And I'd love people to speak their mind. Do you know what I mean? I'd don't think I'd ever stop people speaking their mind.
I think as goalkeepers, we are slightly different in our mindset anyway. Yeah. The way we see the game, we reflect on the game like a manager does because of the way we stand at the end of a pitch and watch it.
Yeah.
Being able to speak your mind as a goalie is so important.
Of course, yeah.
But discussion is also so important to make a goalkeeper better.
Yeah. I just think, like, in our position, it is a sport within a sport, yeah, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? And some people don't understand us or it,
yeah,
as much as they do the game. So you have to be strong mentally. You have to have a backbone. Do you know what I mean? You have to get your opinion across. And that helps, obviously, working with good goalie coaches. I've been really lucky, worked with loads that have your back. Do you know what I mean? The majority of goalie coaches have your back.
Yep.
And they're always on your side, which is great to have. You need that little goalkeeper's union. You need that little click, you know, to get you through the good and the bad times.
Yeah. You make a great point there. It's so important that a goalkeeper coach you can trust as well.
100%.
Because we've all been there. We've all sat on the bench.
Yeah.
And the first person, at any mistake or any goal that goes in, a manager, a player, a sub, they'll always look at the goalie coach and the sub goalie and go,
yeah,
what's he done there? Can he do better?
Yeah.
And they all do it, and they're all expecting you to go, yeah, you're right, like, crap.
Yeah.
He's got to be the one that just fronts it and goes, he might have seen something slightly different than what we see.
Of course, yeah.
Like, there's things that happen in a game. He's got to be the one that looks after you.
I work with a goalie coach at Charlton, still good mate to him now, Ben Roberts. He's head of goalkeeping at Chelsea, and went for a time at Charlton where managers were changing all the time. It was a real sort of, it wasn't a great time for the club in terms of ownership and things like that. And they foreign managers were coming in and he didn't have that relationship with them.
Yep.
So he actually used to watch the game from the gantry. So some of these times that we were talking about before off air, like, I'd go and sit with him in the gantry. And I thought it was brilliant because all he was worried about really was the goalie. Do you know what I mean? And he could see it from, like, balls over the top. Should he have come? Shouldn't he have? And he didn't have that sitting on the bench. And some fella that maybe he didn't get on with as well as Chris Powell, for example, who was his manager when he went into the club. Yeah. He didn't have someone looking at him going, well, what do you think straight away and putting you on the spot? Yeah, do you know what I mean? So he saw the game and I really liked that. And I've seen other goalie coaches now do it as well. Yeah. Watch it from above.
Because most goalie coaches now, they've got to look after their set pieces.
I know, it's crazy.
They've got more roles to do now. And goalies, obviously, in training, we're doing more on our own. And the goalie coach is then going off with the starting goalkeeper and helping with the defensive set 100%. Pieces. And you get left down the end with the other goalies. And you're like, well, let's try and work out a session. But I love it now because I'm at that age now where I'm like, right, I want to do this and this is what I need. And we'll do this so that when we go into shooting afterwards, I'm ready.
Yeah, you feel right. Yeah. But I think that's football, like not respecting goalkeepers, but it's like, oh, hold on a minute. Like, that player on that pitch is as important as anyone.
Yeah,
if, arguably, we'd sit here and say the most important.
The most important.
But it's like, oh, can you do this? Can you do the set plays or whatever? But it's fine. Obviously, at certain clubs, everyone has to muck in. At the top clubs, obviously, they've got set play coaches, throwing coaches, things like this. So when you go into coaching or whatever, like, you're expected to do that sort of stuff. But sole focus is on the goalie and helping him perform on a Saturday.
I want to go back to then Charlton then going out on loan. Obviously, you said that you was in and about first team football for quite a while, and that it must have been you must have been knocking on the door for a loan move.
Yeah, I always felt that, and managers that I had, it was sort of like you, at a young age, you're brilliant to be a number two. We really like you. We can't bring in anyone else.
Yeah.
But then I used to say, I didn't used to say anything at that young age. But it was, I was like, well, you're hindering me really because I'm happy sitting on the bench, but really I should be out playing games. And again, Ben was brilliant for me, pushing me out for these loans and things like that. But I did like two Conference South loans for like a month, 6 weeks, Bishop Stortford and Whitehawk, which was like some of the sights you see, some of the changing rooms, some of the pitches. Whitehawk, for example, I played down in Whitehawk and it's like the pitch is like, I think from one corner flag to the other, there's like 22 feet difference.
Wow.
It was like the most ridiculous
proper slope. Hill.
Yeah, so one hill, one half, you're kicking up the hill, second half. But it was weird because kicking up the hill, you always had the wind in your back sort of thing coming off the sea.
Yeah.
So that was, so it actually helped you. And then kicking down, you're thinking, oh, drop it in their 18-yard box. And you couldn't because the wind off the sea was coming in. Yeah. But yeah, they were two like little great loans. And obviously, learned non-league football and just men's football, really. Yep. And then I had a great loan probably arguably my favourite season ever, winning the conference. Obviously, something you know about as well, at Cheltenham. So my best mate had just been released from Charlton, and he went and signed in the conference. He thought, right, I'm going to go and play full-time football. Went and signed for Gary Johnson at Cheltenham, and Gary Johnson asked Jack, who was at Spurs as a kid, about a couple of goalies from Spurs. He said, what about this one? What about that one? And fair play to my mate, who was young at the time. He said, like, no, don't take them. Take Dylan. He's looking for one from Charlton. And then they spoke to, I think it was Ben Roberts again at the time, the Charlton goalie coach, and he got something sorted in the pre-season, in the off-season before. And I went down there, played in like, he wanted to see me in a trial game. And I was happy to do it because I'd never played at the level. So I was like, right, this would be great for me. And I've never looked back from there. It was a really good season. I played 37 games, got injured towards the end, missed the last sort of 8 or 9 with a knee injury. But we was nearly promoted anyway. But it was a great time. Lived in an apartment with 4 lads in the middle of Cheltenham. And it was just like, we just lived and breathed football, do you know what I mean?
To have a promotion on your CV at that age, what was you, 20 years old, I think?
I was 20, yeah.
Yeah, so like that goes a long way for the rest of your career. Yeah. People always go, oh, he's got their money, like, under his belt and that. And obviously, like you're saying, playing that amount of games at 20 and being successful is an unbelievable experience.
It was so good, mate, honestly. Like, playing with experienced lads, getting their trust. Because I remember, actually, a couple of pre-season games didn't go as I planned, and I had a few ricks, and I thought, like, ultimately, I could straight away see that some of the older lads were thinking, young lad on loan, are we going to be able to trust him? And then 10 games into the season, I knew I had everyone's trust, and it was just like, I felt so confident going out there every week. And once that loan actually finished, I felt like I could play at any level. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I just played in the conference, and I went back to Charlton, who was League One at the time, and I thought, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to play here.
Yeah.
They probably never thought that, because that's not how they saw it. But I thought, I can play for... I was watching League One games on the bench, and I was thinking, I can... It's no different. I can do exactly the same thing. Because to an extent, there is no difference, when you're a goalkeeper.
We've had this discussion on here before, but like, it would be interesting to put the Premier League goalkeepers in the National League.
See how because
in terms of goalkeeping ability, obviously they're the elite, right?
Yeah.
But the actual games are the same.
Yeah.
Aren't they? Like,
of course they are.
So it's going to be difficult for any goalkeeper of any level to... You can swap leagues. It don't really matter. You can keep a quiet goal one day. The next week, you could turn up and be the busiest goalie in the world. It just depends on that day.
I can't think who it was. Who spoke to me about it? Chris Maxwell. He went to me. He said, like, the higher you go, the easier it gets. He said, down in the conference and things, he said, some lads don't know where they're going to put the ball. Whereas in the Prem, for example, not that I've played there, but or the Champ, people, they're better at it, so they know where they're going. Obviously, there's disguise and things like this, but the crosses are coming in with more quality, and
they're going to be hung up in the air.
Yeah, they're not like, it's not as random. Do you know what I mean? It's what you're working on every day. So, I mean, obviously, there's a difference, but I felt at that time that I was ready to play. Do you know what I mean?
How hard was it to go back to Cheltenham then, and then go, right, I'm ready now to play. Am I going to compete? Am I going to go out on loan again?
Yeah, it was difficult. I got back fit from the knee injury that I had, and we actually played Cheltenham in the Carabao Cup. It was the second game of the season. And normally, Carabao Cup, the second choice gets a game.
Yeah.
Declan Rudd had come in on loan. The manager was Russell Slade at the time. I went to see the manager and said, like, I'd like to go back on loan to Cheltenham. But then this is when it started to become a problem. It was like, well, we can only do that if we can bring someone in, and they didn't feel they could bring anyone in, and they thought it was better to have a young lad on the bench and things like this. And so I thought, unlucky, do you know what I mean? I'm disappointed that I can't do that, but great, I'm going to get to play against Cheltenham at Cheltenham in the Carabao Cup, second game of the season. I never played and I was gutted, but like, it was great going back there, seeing everyone. But it would have been brilliant to play.
Yeah.
And then, that season, it was difficult. I had to wait for an injury, really.
Yep.
Dec got injured. I can't think exactly what it was. And I played sort of 10 games. But it's weird. You probably know the exact feeling. You, as much as I felt like I was so ready to go in, once you're actually on the pitch, you think, oh, am I ready? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it takes you sort of 5 or 6 games to really feel like confident again.
Yep.
Played 5 or 6 games, started to feel brilliant in the swing of it, and then he come back fit, and it was like, changed it. But I wasn't old enough or experienced enough to be really disappointed that he'd brought me out the side.
Yeah.
But then I was quite close with a lot of the players at the time at Charlton. They were going to me like, why has he took you out the side? Like, you've been doing great. Like, da, 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 da. But I was just happy to have just got actually made my Charlton debut. Do you know what I mean? That I've obviously dreamt about as a kid, playing first team football, be it was at League One, but that was what I wanted to do. And I wasn't that disappointed to come out. And it's then sort of the 2, 3, 4 weeks down the line, once you're then back on the bench, that it's like, oh, actually, I really like that. Do you know what I mean? I want to be doing that all the time.
Sometimes it's like those opportunities that when you come out of a team, it makes you hungrier though.
Yeah.
So then like the next time you get your opportunity, you're like, I'm staying in now.
Yeah, of course.
I need to nail this down as being a number one. I can't just be the, I've come through the academy, I'm a nice guy, I'm a good goalkeeper and I've done well for the club, but they're just using me.
Yeah.
You have to find that point where you're like, no, I'm here to play or I want to get out.
100%. And then the season after that, pre-season, I think I played 10 games maybe that year. And then the season after that, Charlton again, couldn't go. Again, I wanted to go out on loan because I knew I wasn't going to be the manager's first choice goalkeeper. So I wanted to go out on loan. For whatever reason, it never really happened. I was seen as that number two young lad.
Yeah.
Great to have as the club. But when really the sensible thing would have been to bring someone else in to do that job for me to then
progress.
And I feel like I could have come back and played at Charlton at an earlier age. Do you know what I mean? I felt like I was ready anyway, but I felt like that was the best. And we had a few lads come in on come in to train. But I think where I was on low, I was on like a rubbish deal, for example, coming through as a young kid, they were like, well, we've got to fork out double the money for someone who we're not sure is as good as what we've got. So it was difficult. And that season, they brought Ben Amos in on loan from Bolton, maybe.
From Bolton, yeah.
Yeah, so they brought Ben on.
So I signed at Bolton.
Okay.
And I was going into Bolton to be Ben's like competition, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I remember we played pre-season games. And obviously, Gaffer now is at Wrexham with me now. And he just, I think it was the last couple of games of pre-season, he just kept putting me in. He just left me in. And I was like, obviously, I'm going to be the one. And then Ben was knocking on the door saying, well, I want out.
Okay. So, yeah, he come to Charlton. And Ben was brilliant. We just missed out on we got to the playoffs that year. Sneaked in and lost in the semi-finals at Shrewsbury. But, like, what a pro. I mean, Ben's a great lad. Great pro.
Unbelievable in the gym, isn't he, as well?
And he
does
was
everything.
Fit for 46 games or whatever it was. So I didn't even get a sniff. I played a couple of cup games. And he played well, and there was no opening for me. Do you know what I mean? But it was funny because then year after we got promoted, which we'll talk about, but then the year after that, when we got to the champ, I'd been on holiday with Ben in the summer. We'd been to New York, and he was out of contract maybe at Bolton or something, or he was looking for a new club. Pre-season, champ season, back at Charlton, Ben turns up. I was like, what are you doing here? Do you know what I mean? I was thinking, oh no, Ben's going to come in. And obviously had the thought of him being so good that season in League One. I'm thinking, I know we've just been promoted. I know the shirt's probably mine, but he's going to be ready and waiting. And it turns out that season, I was fit for the whole season, played 46 games. So it's rolled reverse.
Exactly,
do you know what I mean? But Ben was great. Like I think we got on really well. Do you know what I mean? We got the best out of each other. So yeah. Great lad.
Yeah, no, obviously, then let's go on to your Charlton promotion then.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're coming through from such a young age and then getting the club promoted, playing nearly every game that season again. Like, obviously, that's high up on your list of achievements. Oh, you got player of the season as well.
Yeah, 100%. It was, I mean, the actual day at Wembley was superb, but the season building up to that, there was some highs, there was some lows, there was a chance that I wasn't even going to be at the club in the January. I was, again, so obviously Declan Rudd coming on loan from Norwich at the time, maybe, for that season 3 years back, year after Ben coming on loan. And then that season that I finally thought, right, I'm going to be the number one now. I don't think they brought Andy Marshall, goalkeeper coach, come from Villa. And I was getting on really well. We started the season okay, not great. We started the season okay. We had a really good team. And Jed Steer coming on loan from Villa. So I thought, oh, here we go again sort of thing.
Yeah.
And played 6 games. We got beat away at Southend 2-1. I conceded a goal, which I should have saved late on, but then we went and scored. So it was a great feeling as a goalie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Relief. Which is ironic, really, what happens in the final. But it was like great, great feeling, relief. It was like an international break or something. Yeah, we had a League Cup game or something, and Jed played, done really well, brilliant with his feet. Manager pulls me next Thursday. We're going to go down a different route. We want to play out from the back.
So I thought, disappointed, felt like I'd been sort of like, it was going to happen again, and it did happen again. So I was disappointed, had to knuckle down. Me and Marshy sort of, I think it built our relationship as well, because obviously I was really disappointed with the way it had gone.
Yep.
But then I sort of said to him, right, I want to be as good as him with my feet. I need to be, because I can't have that being my letdown in my career.
I don't want that as an excuse. Yeah.
So I went away, worked on that. 1st of January came. I remember I was playing golf at the time. I was on the golf course. Marshy's ringing me. Deal, Jed's going back to Villa. You'll be playing. It was a Thursday afternoon. I was out on the golf course because I wasn't playing. I wasn't really, do you know what I mean? I was like, oh. So I got off the phone and my mates were like, what's that? I said, well, the lad's going back to Villa. I'm in, sort of thing. My chance to prove again. Played 3 or 4 games. We'd actually lost a couple, so it was a sort of good time to get back in. Got back inside, had a couple of wins, but it was the January transfer window, so
you never know what's going to happen.
Ultimately, someone's coming in. Chris Maxwell coming on loan from Preston. And I just thought, right, if I want to be in control of my career, I've got to go and do something about this. So I remember going to see Lee Bowyer at the time and saying, like, bearing in mind we'd just won 3 games on the spin and I'd done quite well, I said, like, Bo, I want to go on loan. And he looked at me like, what? I was like, I want to go on loan. I said, I want to have control of my own career. I said, for the last 4 seasons, goalies have come in on loan, bigger names, bigger pedigrees than me, and they've just got in the team.
Yep.
Just, I'm going to make a mistake. Between now and the end of the season, I'm going to make a mistake. So if you're going to just put him in, let me know and I'll go. Packed my bags, put all my boots in the car. I was signing for Mansfield in League 2.
Adamant news off then.
Yeah. Got a phone call from Marsh, I think. Deal, you're not going anywhere. Like, you're in tomorrow. Like, it's your shirt to lose. And I thought, from then I thought, right, it sounded genuine. I thought, get me around it. That's me. Stayed in the team. And obviously, we got promoted.
Maybe that conversation that you had with Bowyer cemented in his head that you were ready.
Maybe.
You know, like just the maturity that you had to went, no, I'm either playing here or I'm going somewhere else to play. Yeah. Like, you're picking me or you're not picking me. Yeah. Let me know.
People can take that a number of different ways. Yeah. And I'm glad he took it in the right way.
Of course.
Some managers wouldn't. But I felt like I was growing up and I felt like I needed to sort of take control of my own career at that time.
Yeah.
That was why I made that decision to go and see him. And I think he was a little bit confused. I think he was a little bit like taken back, like, what? Why has he said that to me?
Yeah.
He's just played 3 games with 1. Do you know what I mean? Bit different if we weren't doing great. But yeah, and stayed fit and stayed in the team till the end of the season. Obviously, we got in the playoffs.
Talk me through winning the playoffs.
Wow. It was, we played Doncaster away in the first leg of the semi-finals. And like, I see some of the Doncaster clips now. I always watch the highlights on the bike on a Monday morning. I always watch the EFL show. And there's no one there at the moment at Doncaster. Obviously, they're not doing great in League 2, I don't think. But it was packed and it was like a real good atmosphere when we played them. We were 2-0 up cruising and then they scored really late on in that leg. So it was like 2-1, not really convincing anymore.
Hanging in the balance, yeah.
And then back to the Valley. I must have had 40, 50 friends and family there and it was packed. The family wasn't in the normal section because they couldn't all go in there. So they was in like a different section. They switched us round before the game. So it was all a bit like, oh, what's going on here? We're shooting towards the wrong end first.
Yeah.
And we worked on a set piece, like a run up, wide free kick, fake to take it. They drop and 4 minutes in and we scored like perfect. And it was like, oh, 3-1, cruising. Long story short, they come back into the game. Yeah. I think it ended 3-3 in extra time. They scored, I can't remember the exact score. I think it was maybe 3-2 to them on the night. So it would have been 5-5 or something. No, what's that?
5-5,
yeah. 4, yeah, 5, something like that. Anyway, in extra time, they scored and then they scored straight away again. So they was actually leading the tie and then we went down the other end and scored straight away. And if we didn't score straight away, I don't think we would have been harder. They were sort of still flying. You know, sometimes when you score and then you can see straight away because you're still flying. They're on top of the world sort of thing. We went down there and Darren Prattley scored the equaliser and went to penalty shootout. I saved 1 penalty in the shootout and then a lad missed the final penalty. But where I dived, it looked to me as if it had gone in because it hit the backboard and then it hit the net. So I've looked, I've seen the net ripple.
Oh,
and then 10 seconds later, there's 20,000 people on the pitch, and I was like, what has just gone on? I don't even think their player who took the penalty realised that it was the last penalty. Do you know, like, yeah, if he missed, yeah, it had just gone to sudden death. It was the fourth or the fifth penalty. I don't think he realised, because if you see the clip, he takes the pen, misses, turns around, starts to jog, and then he looks around, and like I say, there's 20,000 people on the pitch. Yeah, so wow. It was like, it was mad. But yeah, unbelievable. We had to make our way back to the tunnel, and yep. We had some great scenes in the change room afterwards. I remember we watched, I think it was Leeds v Derby in the Championship playoff semi-final the night before.
Yeah.
And Derby won on pens.
Yeah.
And they were celebrating like they'd won it. And I remember sitting with whoever I was sitting with at the time, one of the lads or whatever, or my friends, we won't be celebrating like that if we win. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not job done yet. And then that happens. And then we're celebrating like we've won the World Cup. Do you know what I mean? You just can't help yourself.
But that 2 week build up, you get to calm down and start preparing properly for the playoff final.
Yeah. That was just mental, mate. Like, it's sort of Steve Avery at Charlton Academy, the academy director. We played at Old Trafford when I was a kid, like in the youth cup. And I remember him saying to me, "Don't let this moment pass you by." And I didn't quite know what that meant. And we played that game against Man United. There was 5,000 there. It looked like there was about 300 people there because of how big it was. And we lost 3-2. And I walked off the pitch. And the next couple of days, I thought, oh my God, I don't even remember that game. And that game did pass me by. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It just goes like that.
Yeah.
So I remember that stuck with me and I thought, I won't let this day pass me by. We obviously went to Wembley the day before, looked at the pitch, and I was just like, this is crazy. Do you know what I mean? This is mental. And maybe 5 minutes in, I was still trying to take it in instead of concentrating on what I should have been concentrating on. But obviously, 4 minutes in to the playoff final, I get a back pass and I literally take my eye off it for a split second. And it's in.
Yeah.
And all I can, well, not all I can remember, because I remember it all. But I remember as it goes under my foot, I've sort of received the back pass from the left. I've got it. I've looked to the right as if to say, right, that's where I'm playing next. Because ironically, we're playing out from the back now because I can do it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I've looked back, ball gone. Turned around, ball's 5 yards behind me. And actually at that moment, I looked and thought, it's okay.
I'll get that.
Do you know what I mean? The pitch was so slick and quick that as I've turned to start running on it, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm not getting that. And then literally, like, I can't explain. It gives me goosebumps now, mate. Like, I can't explain the feeling. Like, it was just like, what have I done?
Yeah.
I remember there's a picture of me. I'm sort of like on my knees sliding into the goal, trying to catch this ball that I was never, ever catching when you watch it back. And I just thought, like, what am I going to do now? Like, it's 4 minutes in, there's 85,000 people here, and I've just let one under my foot in the biggest game of my career. And literally, like, again, it was, again, quite weird, quite ironic that my friends and family, apart from my mum and dad who were sitting in, like, the really nice bit because you got some tickets for that, all my friends and family were directly where they were sitting, like the same sort of setup as the Valley.
Yeah.
And I remember looking, and I could, and one of my mates at the time, he was like, everyone was so quiet and down. I remember looking up there, throwing the ball back, and he was like screaming at me as if to say, like, come on, like, get your head in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, come on, you're all right. Like, it's gone.
That's amazing.
And I remember looking at it. Honestly, mate, it gives me goosebumps.
It just gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, it's crazy, mate. Crazy. And I looked at him, and he's going, like, come on, don't worry about it. And literally, oh, mate, it makes me shiver now. And I just thought, that's it, like, now. Like, it's done. It's literally done.
The worst thing that can happen's happened.
And
let's just crack
people
on.
People always ask me straight after, the week after, and even now when I see people, they talk about it. And I said, what was your fit? And I weren't nervous. I was obviously anxious for the game. But because I'd played all them games before, like we spoke about, at any level, when you go in the team and you play 5 or 6 games, it takes you that. For me, that's what it takes. 5 or 6 games to feel my groove, and then I'm in then. And I don't get nervous. I'm not that sort of person. So I wasn't nervous. We just played in front of a full house at the Valley. It's just same difference. After you get past 20,000 people, do you know what I mean? You know, like, it don't matter how many are there. There could be 300,000 people. It's just noise, isn't it? But yeah, I wasn't nervous. And people say, oh, you must have just been nervous. I wasn't nervous. I really wasn't. I just took my eye off the ball for a second.
Accidents happen.
And it happens. Do you know what I mean? And I remember every time the ball come back to me, that's what I wanted. We kicked off and I was like screaming at my centre halves, pass me the ball. And they're looking at me like, what? I was like, give me the ball. Like, I need to feel the ball. Like, so I remember getting the ball back, and this part of the stadium here, these 40,000 Charlton fans, you could hear a pin drop. That 40,000 Sunderland, you literally, every time the ball come back to me, it was, oh, and you could hear it. But it was like, it was mental, mate. And then obviously we scored just before half time. I've got like the shirt and the gloves framed, and there's a picture of me, and you can just see the relief on my face. Like I'm almost praying. Like I've never prayed. Don't pray. Yeah. I'm like praying as if to say like thank you, whoever that is that's just helped me. Like, yeah. And we scored, went in with a good bit of momentum, and at the time in the change room at half time, we were actually laughing about it. Like lads were looking at me like,
what have you done?
What has just gone on? And we were laughing in the change room like 100%. Like, what happened? And I was like, I don't know. And we're laughing, and even Bo was like, what have you done? Laughing about it. Do you know what I mean? Because I felt like we felt in control of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't the best game in the world. We obviously went on to score in the 95th minute or whatever it was, which was brilliant. But yeah, it was a day I'll never forget. But it just makes you want to do it again. Like, yeah. I'm itching to do that again. I would love to do that again. I would love to, at whatever level, do you know what I mean? I just want to get back in the team. I want to get back playing, and I want to experience something like that again.
Yeah, a promotion or a playoff.
Because I've only had good experiences of that. I've not lost, I've played one, but people obviously have got bad experiences, and I wonder how they feel. Do they want to go back and relive it to like make it a positive one? I imagine they do, but because I've only had that good experience, I just want that. Do you know what I mean?
It's a bug, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Amazing, right? Right, I'm going to get on with our quiz, right? Goalie or no goalie.
Yeah.
You know a little bit about it. It's a bit of a stitch up. Yeah. So I've got five of the current A-League goalkeepers in Australia.
Wow. Yeah, that is testing me.
And then I've got five famous creators of cartoons.
Famous creators of cartoons? Yeah, rubbish at
you
this.
Won't know any of them, the actual names, but you'll know all the cartoons, all okay. right? So 1 point for each correct answer.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Number one, Steven Hilberg.
That sounds like not a goalkeeper.
He is not a goalkeeper. Yeah. Good start. He is a creator of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, there you go.
Pretty famous guy now, yeah. I reckon.
The Hilberg. So I don't know why.
Hilberg, yeah.
Yeah, it just made me think, yeah.
Can't be a goalie. Yeah. Right, number two, Macklin Freke.
See, I've actually looked recently at the weird, because I was, for whatever reason, scrolling, looking at different leagues all over the world, and I was looking at the Australian goalies, and a lot of them are Australian.
Yeah,
the majority
of them are. I think there's only two or three that I've noticed.
And what was that name again?
Macklin Freke.
Freke or Freak? It doesn't sound very Australian. I'm going to go no goalie again.
He is a goalkeeper. Oh, he is the Brisbane Roar goalkeeper.
Oh, he didn't look that well. Yeah.
I think he might be German.
Yeah, it doesn't sound Australian, does it?
Right. Number three, Philip Curto.
You throw me now because it's sort of... I'm going to go with goalkeeper.
He is a goalkeeper. Yeah. He is the MacArthur FC goalkeeper.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't gone for like Jamie Young, who like the most famous ones
Or obviously. Just something that sounds Australian, really.
Right, number four, David Depate.
No, not a goalie.
Not a goalkeeper. He is not a goalkeeper. He is the creator of the Pink Panther.
Oh, there we go. Look.
Number five, James Delinov.
Delinov. I'm going to go... Against the grain, what I've said about Australian names, I'm going to go goalkeeper.
He is a goalkeeper. You've got this right now.
Yeah. Who does he play for?
Adelaide.
Okay.
Delenov. Can't say this with my teeth in. Right, number six, Akiri Toriyama.
I think what I said earlier is going straight out the window. I'm going goalkeeper.
He is not a goalkeeper. He created Dragon Ball Z. I thought I'd trick you with that one because the old Asian connection with Australia. I've done you.
You have.
Number seven, Neville Astley.
Not a goalkeeper.
He is not a goalkeeper. He created Peppa Pig. Oh. I bet he's doing all right for himself now.
Yeah, he's flying.
I bet he's doing quite well for himself. Right, number eight, Trey Parker.
Goalkeeper.
He is not a goalkeeper. He created South Park.
Oh. I wouldn't know that. But...
Trey Parker would have been a great Australian
name,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, it sounds good, don't it? Yeah.
I bet he can surf. Number nine, Paul Izzo.
That's a goalkeeper.
Yeah, it's definitely a goalkeeper. It's got to be, isn't it? It's definitely an Australian name. Yeah. Izzo?
Paul Izzo, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Right, and number 10, Alex Paulson. You forgot how many you've done, isn't it?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
100%, I can tell you're thinking about it.
Goalkeeper.
He is a goalkeeper, yeah.
There we go.
Wellington Phoenix goalie. 7 out of 10.
Not bad, is it?
Good deal. That's good, that, mate.
Is it good, yeah?
Yeah, that's good. Especially as I do try and trick people with
it. Yeah, a lot of guessing going into that.
Yeah, there's a lot of guessing.
Luck, but...
Yeah.
We'll take it.
I can't believe your theory just went straight out the window.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Right, I want to talk about moving to Cardiff then and then buying you. Obviously, first time it had happened in your career, being bought and that. Yeah. That must have been a huge feeling of like, yeah, they're serious about me going there.
Yeah, it was obviously played for Charlton in the Championship that year, got relegated on the last day, really. Away at Leeds, we lost 4-0. But results could have gone our way. I think it was Brentford versus Barnsley. Brentford needed just a draw or something to go up automatically. Yeah. And they ended up losing to Barnsley. Our game had finished. And I looked over and the goalie coach, Marsh, is going, we're all right, we're all right. Our game's finished. And then literally you see heads just go down. I thought, oh my God, the score, Barnsley scored. Like, great escape. We got relegated with 48 points or something like that. And you look at the champ now this year. Obviously, at Rotherham, we're not really anywhere near that. But like the other teams, have still got to get sort of 10 points to get to that 48 mark. So I think at the time, it might have been one of the like highest points down. Okay, there was a couple of teams, or at least one team, I think Wigan, that had points deducted. So that also would have helped us a little bit. But we started off so well that Championship season. And it was like, we're not going to struggle because we had a great team coming up from League One. We added to it a bit. We had some great loans. We had like Conor Gallagher coming for the first half of the season. Then injuries hit. Conor left. COVID came. We had a couple of players who didn't actually play, who sort of was up at the end of the year. And the club sort of behind the scenes was not sort of sorting people out with contracts and things. So they sort of was like, right, I'm not fit, can't play.
Got to look after themselves.
Yeah,
which
I hold no grudges against anyone for doing that, really. But it could have killed us because it was literally a point at the end of the day, and you never know. But personally for me that season, I felt like I'd established myself as a Championship goalie. Obviously I got player of the year. I knew that there was interest in the summer, and where I'd been at Charlton for so long, I felt like I deserved a chance somewhere else to move on.
Sometimes you feel ready as well.
Yeah, and I knew obviously with the club going back to League One, it wasn't going to sort of, it wasn't the next step in my career. I'd have wished we'd have stayed in the Championship, and I wished I could have signed a longer term contract at Charlton. Like I do genuinely believe that would have been a good thing for me. And I probably would have been sitting here now with maybe more games under my belt if that had happened. But it didn't happen, and I had to go and test myself. And obviously coming back for pre-season, I'd made it sort of clear to the club that if there was interest, I would like to go and test myself in the Championship. And it just took a bit of time, really. Like, sort of behind the scenes at Charlton wasn't great, and they was trying to get every sort of pound that they could. And there was a couple of options for me to go straight at the start of pre-season, which would have probably been better for me. I would have probably settled at a club, and that didn't happen. Turns out Charlton ended up accepting the same amount of money that they turned down at the start of the window. But
it's always the case.
I went to Cardiff, and I was really excited by it. Neil Harris was the manager when I signed, and it was great to have someone who, when I spoke to him, he showed confidence and belief in me, albeit he said, like, you're coming here to compete. We've obviously got Alex Smithies, who's a top goalie, top guy. So I knew I had my work cut out, and I knew I was going to have to wait for a chance. But I was excited by the move. And if someone had asked me before that, are you going to move to Cardiff? I was a bit like, oh, not too sure about Cardiff in terms of where
it's
is on the map.
Huge club and that.
But mate, yeah, massive club. Really enjoyed my time there, living there. Again, wish it would have lasted longer. Me and Katie bought a house there, and we loved it there, and wish we could have lived in that longer. But yeah, game time was sort of few and far between. I think I played 38 games in 35, something like that, in sort of like two seasons. So I did get my fair amount of chances. Had to wait sort of 10 games. Neil Harris actually had got the sack by the time I'd got in the team. So again, I was playing for a manager that hadn't signed me, which was difficult. But got the chance. I remember it was COVID at the time as well, which also killed a couple of my moments there. I think I saved two penalties at home to Preston straight after the other, one after the other. And if that was at home in front of the fans at Cardiff, it would have been unreal.
Yeah,
and it was still a great moment, and I was proud of it. And the fans obviously did appreciate it, but it would have been so much better if they was in the stadium. Yep. But I come on against Bristol City, and obviously a derby, after 4 minutes. I was actually I actually took a, I was actually replacing a stud in my boots. I had no boots on. I was ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no boots. No, I had three studs missing out of my boots. I've looked up and Al's like on the floor, all the paramedics around him, and he actually had like a virus. It wasn't coronavirus, but he actually had a virus. But I didn't even get no like sense of it in the warm-up. I thought he was fine. Something just come over him. He was actually in hospital, I think, for a few days and got in, played sort of 10, 11 games for Cardiff there off of an illness. And we were doing really well at the time, but again, it was all behind closed doors, so I never really got the full Cardiff experience in that sense. We went on to win that game 2-0 against Bristol City away, which again would have been brilliant in front of the fans.
Yep.
And yeah, played 10, 11 games. Al come back. Maybe it was more than 10, 11. I can't remember exactly. Played a run of games. Al come back. He sat on the bench for a bit, had to wait for his chance, and then his chance came, and then he pulled us both, Mick McCarthy, towards the end of the season. I think there were six games to go, and he said, sort of can't decide on either of you. Like, I'm going to give you three games and you three games. Show me what you can do and pre-season next year, and then we'll decide from them.
But it's not helpful, that, though.
I was just grateful to be able to play games. You know what I mean? I didn't want to come out the side when I come out. I'll come back in, played, I think, three or four games, and then, like I say, I played three or four. I can't remember exactly what it was. But it's hard to be. It's just disappointing for yourself. But I got on well, so well with Al, and I don't think there's been any that I haven't got on with, to be honest. But we just wanted the best for each other. Do you know what I mean?
It's so important that.
Yeah, and then that pre-season came. The second season, Mick McCarthy was the manager, and I started the season. So in my eyes, he saw me. I think Al was coming to his last year. He had some interest as well, which I didn't think helped him. But not didn't help him, but he nearly signed for a couple of clubs in that window. So sort of like there was a little bit of uncertainty in him, but I got the shirt, I was playing, and the fans were back in the stadium, great, but we just didn't get off to a good start. First four games were okay, and then I think we lost five or six on the spin.
Yeah.
I come out the side, we lost a couple more, and then Mick McCarthy got the sack. So then now another new manager coming in, Al's obviously at the club, loads more experience than me. And he stayed in the side for the majority of that season, and then we stayed. Yeah, we got into a bit of a relegation battle.
Yeah.
We stayed up with a few games to go, seven games to go, and actually Al had an operation at the time and stepped away, and I played the last seven games. So I got some more games.
Yeah.
And that was my last game in English league football in the Championship. Was two, not last season, season before, away at Derby, and the last game of the season we won 1-0. But it was a strange feeling because I knew that my time at Cardiff might have been coming to an end.
Yep. Even though you had another year on your contract, it's kind of the right time to move on.
I knew something was going on behind the scenes. I knew that I wasn't really particularly wanted at that time by the manager, or he wanted to go down a different route.
So then it's phone calls with the agent then.
Yeah, and then it was sort of like, right, again, I've got to take it out of other people's hands and put it into my hands. So, yeah.
So then obviously throughout that summer then, are you trying to manipulate a move? Or is it a bit of both? You know that Cardiff are trying to get you out, so you're just trying to get ahead of it.
Yeah. I had no interest in, and even still now, like, I want to be wanted. Do you know what I mean? Like, especially as a goalie, I think it's so important. You're not a striker who can come on for 20 minutes and change someone's opinion. And people say, train hard, and I do train hard. But if a goalie's playing well,
he's
not coming out the side. So I think it's so important that the manager wants you to be at that football club and he wants you to play. And if he don't want you to play, he wants you to be ready to play because he sees you as the next one in line.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's what I felt I would have been. I didn't want to be that. Obviously, I signed under Neil Harris and I felt like just when I spoke to him, he wanted me to be there. So I was really grateful and I was not happy sitting on the bench, but I knew that if anything happened to Al, or if a lack of form or whatever, I knew the manager backed me and I knew he wanted me to play. So that's what I was searching for, really. Someone who was interested and who wanted to take me. But it wasn't a massive moving market that summer for goalkeepers. And maybe I hadn't done enough to be able to move to another Championship side, or I still had a year left. So would Cardiff ask for money if I was to go somewhere permanently? So the loan seemed the better option. There was a couple of options in England, but ultimately, for whatever reason, finances, etc., this loan come about in Belgium, and it suited me at the time, and it suited the club at the time.
Did you fancy a change away from English football as well?
Never did I ever, like some people say, oh, I really want to play abroad. Yep. Like,
I would love to. I still,
I'd love to just have
that experience of a couple of games, even if it's just a couple of games, and the lifestyle.
That's great. Like, for me, English football is the best. So I want to play my, I don't know how to explain it. I think, like, I want to play the majority of my career in England.
Yes.
Would I like to finish my career somewhere? Or if an opportunity came up to go and sign for, I don't know, a big team abroad, of course you would.
Yeah.
But it's not a, it's not an ambition of mine, really. Yep. And it wasn't an ambition of mine to go and play abroad. But obviously, speaking to Rich, my agent, Richard Lee, and we sat down and we looked at how the Belgium League was the most scouted league in the world, and I think still is.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, we decided that was the best thing for us to do, and we went there. And it was mixed. It was indifferent, really.
Yeah.
A lot of bad times in terms of on the pitch, off the pitch. That is definitely not for this podcast in terms of like, in terms of where we lived and court cases for things like curtains. And honestly, we could talk about it all day, but that's not for this. But just being in a different country, people like sending you letters and speaking to you in a different country. They all speak English.
Yeah, brilliant.
And we can be seen as quite lazy, can't we, English people? But everyone spoke English, it wasn't a problem, but there was just a few issues with like where we were living and paying bills and things like that. It just became really difficult. And at that club that I went and played for at Ostend, there wasn't a great deal of support and help off the pitch.
Okay.
Because things on the pitch were going so bad for the club. So it was like, that's our priority, we'll fix that. And we won't worry about where Dylan's living and if he's got to pay X amount of bills, and things just built up and no one helped me with any of that. Do you know what I mean?
If it's new to you as well, and you've got no idea almost what's going on, you're there to worry about the football.
Of course,
And like, so you're putting all of your effort into the football. Mm. When you've got other stuff in the background nagging at you or distracting you, it's not helpful.
And we're lucky in England and we have player liaisons and things like that who are a massive part of football clubs and they help. I like to think we help foreign players come in here.
Yeah.
It'd be difficult for them, I imagine. Do you know what I mean? We take things for granted.
Did you find that the dressing room then was a bit more clicky and you weren't used to a dressing room where you was... 100%,
yeah. It was, I felt really old. We spoke about it off camera. I felt really old. There was a lot of young talent that had sort of been released from bigger clubs in Belgium or bigger clubs in Germany, and they'd sort of... Ostend actually had quite a good record of like selling players on. You've got... the lad who plays for Leicester, the centre-half with the crazy hair, Faz, is it? Yeah. Wope Faz.
Yeah.
He was there. I'm trying to think. There's a lad, I can't think where he plays. He moved from Ostend to Rangers. I think he's now at an even bigger club. Can't think of his name. But they'd had some real like players sort of go there. Jack Hendry went there on loan from Celtic and then moved to Club Bruges. Yeah. So it was like, we sat down and we thought, if I go there and I perform, this could really open up the whole of Europe.
Yep.
Again, it was never something that I wanted to do, but options were limited. So it was like, I've got to take this. And I look back at it and I think like, I could have easily said no. I could have easily just said like, no, I'm going to sit around here. I'm going to wait for a chance at Cardiff or maybe never get a chance. But I felt like it was a bold move to make and I don't regret it. I don't regret it, but I just wish things would have gone different at the club. I wish the actual club was a better sort of environment. The environment was poor, but it's all results based. Do you know what I mean?
If things aren't going right on the pitch, it affects everything.
Yeah. Like we said, like I spoke off camera, it took me 3 weeks to get my visa because of Brexit and things. It's all different now. So I went over there, didn't actually play for the first four games. And then the guy who signed me, the sporting director, who'd seen me play when he worked for Barnsley, he was the one who signed me. He was the one really pushing for me. But the manager seemed like he didn't really know who I was. Do you know what I mean? So when I turned up, when I spoke to the manager, I thought, oh, he wasn't really the one pulling for me. So like, I've got to prove something to this guy. Do you know what I mean? Instead of like, you've come to play.
Yeah.
And the goalie at the time, French speaking, Guillaume, he'd done really well and started the season really well. So I was like, well, even though he's doing really well, I've moved country here to come and play games. I've not moved country to come and sit on the bench. So it was a really difficult time sitting on the bench there, not playing. And when you go away to like standard Liège, it was brilliant. And I was sitting on the bench thinking, I wish I'm playing. But then in that league, you can also go away to a team like Serang, for example. And it's like League Two conference stadium. Yep. So the difference is like, and when you're sitting on the bench there, you're thinking, oh my God, what am I doing here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then when you're sitting at a standard Liège on the bench, you're thinking, oh, I'd love to be playing. It was, the atmosphere was incredible, electric. Yeah. But yeah, had some good times.
Just a good learning curve. Yeah, though, but couldn't wait to get home.
Yeah, couldn't wait to get home. Couldn't wait to get back to, and obviously was in contact with Rich all the time. Yeah. And it was just like, it's been disappointing. We want to get back to England, really.
So what's it been? Obviously, you're back at, over in England now, back at Rotherham. What's it been like this season?
Yeah, so during the summer, I was a free agent, which I'd never been before, which I felt was really all the way up from like 8 year old. Like I'd never been released, or I'd never been like got to the end of a year and told like, we actually don't want you anymore.
Yep.
So it was a strange time. Do you know what I mean? Because Cardiff ultimately didn't say it to me. I didn't speak to him. The contract had ended, but it was like, thanks, but no thanks. It's a weird feeling because I've never been a free agent. I've never been told like, we don't actually want
it's
you anymore.
It's vulnerable, isn't it?
Yeah. So strange. Went on my holidays. It was same as always. I always knew that there would be something for me, but there wasn't a hell of a lot of options. And I felt like I'd done enough in seasons before and I'd proved that I could play in the championship. That ideally I wanted a championship club and I wanted to play in the championship, but I respected that where I'd sort of had a couple of indifferent seasons, that might not be the case. So obviously we looked at options in leagues below, but there wasn't a hell of a lot out there really. So I had a couple of options in the championship and went with Rotherham. Matt Taylor was the manager at the time, who was at Charlton. And when I was sort of 16, 17, 18, he was there. They actually got promotion from League One. So I knew him well from there. I used to travel in the changing room, things like that. Spoke to him a lot and he was like, come in. We've got Victor Johansson. He's been brilliant. But if he drops in form, we know what you can do. And or if he moves on, which is a good chance that he will, like we want you to step in and play.
Yeah.
So to hear that from him and from Scott Brown, the goalie coach, who I had a connection with sort of mutually through Cheltenham.
We'd never played
with each other at the same time, but we'd spoke a lot because he'd had good times at Cheltenham, I had a good time. So we just contacted through that. So that was like going from a place abroad where I felt like I wasn't really wanted to go and sign for two people in particular that really wanted me at that football club at the time.
It's important that.
The other options that I had, nothing stood out like that to me. So we made that decision that's where we go. And it's been frustrating for me this year, again, not playing any games in the league. I've played a couple of cup games, but really frustrating. But like I said, like they were right about Vic. He's been absolutely brilliant. And I think he'll go on to have a really good career. I think his options are going to be endless in the summer.
Yeah.
And it's just another one of them seasons where he stayed fit and played really well. And you just don't get a chance as a goalkeeper. You don't get 20 minutes like a striker. Yep. Obviously, you see lads in the change room and they have the right to be disappointed when they're coming on for 10, 15 minutes. Of course, I get that. But sometimes I look at them and they're upset about coming on for 10 minutes. I think, I'd love to come on for 10 minutes and try and show the manager what I can do.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
It's so different. Obviously, like we're sat on a bench and we're not expected to come on at all, maybe once in a season. Yeah. But like you're saying, subs are sat there going, I can influence this game for the better or for worse.
Yeah, normally when you're losing, you come on as a forward player, or maybe not as a defender, I suppose you come on maybe when you're winning, but you've got chances. Yep. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've literally sat on the bench in the league. I've been fit and available for every game this season.
Yeah.
And as I have been, touch wood, throughout my whole career, really, but I've spent a lot of time sitting on the bench waiting for opportunity. Do you know what I mean? Through, in my opinion, no fault of my own. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've not turned down a great League One playing option in the summer to do that because I want to stay in the championship because I've got an ego.
Yeah,
it's because it's what I thought was right for me at the time. So I'm itching to get back into it. I want to play. Like, I want them moments back again that I had at Charlton and things like that. But you have to be patient. And I know that I am 28. So I've still got young.
Still got a long career ahead of you.
Hopefully, mate. So I know them times will come, but it can be frustrating and it can test you mentally. I like to think I'm quite strong in that department, so I'll be all right, but it's just I'm itching for something to get in and play some games. Yeah.
Mate, that don't ever leave you. No. I'm 37 now and I still on a Saturday, I wake up going, wish I was playing today.
Yeah.
After the game, I'm like, oh, I'd love to have played in that game. I still, 20 years I've been a pro and I still get those feelings. They don't ever leave you.
No, I bet, yeah.
So you'll crack on, mate.
Yeah.
But I just want to briefly touch on your gloves and that. Obviously, you're in the one glove now. Mm-hmm. Why are you with the one glove?
I've worn them for ages.
I know you have. Yeah.
That's I don't actually know how.
Is it the Rob Elliott connection?
No, I don't think it was. Because I don't think Robbie wore one glove when he was at Charlton. That was years and years ago. I think it only started really when he went to Newcastle.
Yeah.
I actually wore All Sport for was it the champ season? No, the season we got promoted at Charlton in League One, I wore All Sport for that one random season, but getting hold of more than sort of 20 pairs a year was just impossible. But then I went back to one again when they started to sort of like develop, and they've got a range of gloves now. Do you know what I mean? So, and yeah, I just feel like that. I think they're as good as any. Do you know what I mean? So why would I not?
What size are you?
I'm a 10.
10, yeah.
Yeah.
Has that changed for different cuts and
so
stuff?
I mentioned his name, the goalkeeper, Yohan Teram, who signed on loan for Charlton from Standard Liège. I used to wear like really big bulky ones, you know, like roll finger.
Yeah.
And I started to get like into a, I don't know about you, but like, I feel like, go back for pre-season, and I feel like my habits are like, in terms of like goalkeeping training habits are like perfect.
Yeah.
But especially when you're not playing and you're training all the time, you end up picking up like two touch and taking too many touches.
Gambling
or
on shooting drills.
Yeah, because you just like get into that bad habit.
You do, yeah.
But I used to catch with massive, massive roll finger gloves. And I had no feeling. It was all about if the gloves were good, my hands were good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And Ben Roberts said to me, like, put them on. So he, that was Old Sport. He wore Old Sport and he had like thinnish latex, really like flat palm. And it was literally, like, I could feel my fingers in the gloves. Like there was no latex. And I was almost like, he almost used to grab the ball instead of like let it hit his gloves. He used to grab it. Do you know what I mean? With his fingers and a bit more like feel. And from that time onwards, I never wore roll finger again because I felt like it restricted my sort of feeling in my hands.
Yeah.
But I'm quite open to sort of change him. I've actually spoke to Miles recently and he's sending me a similar glove but with a sort of flat palm in the two fingers in the middle.
Yeah.
Again, we're like, I've not been playing, I've been training. I like to try different things to see what works and see how. And sometimes I think you put a new pair of gloves on, a different style. It's like, oh.
Makes you feel different as well. Yeah,
makes you concentrate a bit more. Yep. Do you know what I mean? You see these gloves with no stick, no grip gloves and things like that. Like, I'd be quite interested in trying to see what they're like. But the one glove's been brilliant. And
When did you go to the no strap gloves?
It's only been the last couple of years. Yeah, it's only been the last couple of years. There can be a night to get on. I sort of have like a ritual of like, well, when I played some games last year in Belgium, like I'd have the same guy put the glove on for me.
Yeah.
So like once I'm all strapped up and I've put one on, it's sort of difficult to get the second one on. So like I'd have like a bit of a superstition where that guy would put that glove on. Do you know what I mean?
What do you strap up as well? That's an interesting one.
Just my wrist, mate.
Just wrist, yeah. You know, fingers at all? Or?
No, I've touched wood. Again, I've been lucky with my fingers, really. Yeah. So just standard goal, strapping, really.
Yeah, it's normally to bulk out your wrists a bit so that the gloves fit.
And with them...
I don't know about you, but goalkeepers have wide hands, don't they?
Yeah.
So then when it comes to your wrists are normally generally quite narrow, so everyone kind of straps them to like make it feel like it's all one.
And I think with these non-strapless ones, mate, if you was just to sort of put them on the skin, I think they'd move around a bit more.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got a decent strap in,
and
the glove sort of sits on it, sort of like tacks it down, you know what I mean?
Fair
it keeps it, doesn't let it go all like baggy.
Yeah, and how long do you wear them for? Typical pair of gloves.
It all depends on the pitches, really.
Yeah,
for
it
me,
does.
Mate.
And the conditions.
Yeah.
And...
So if you're on bad pitches, then you could be. So I've been through a lot of pairs of gloves this year.
Yeah.
Just training a lot.
But if you're training a lot, that's what. Obviously, you're not doing cool down days. So when you're playing on a Saturday, if you're the first choice keeper at the moment, you play on a Saturday, you're off Sunday.
You don't do much till Tuesday, do you?
No,
really?
You don't. So then even like Tuesday is still a monitored session.
Yeah.
But the other goalkeepers will be flying about Monday.
Of course,
they'll be doing all the shooting on the Saturday. So you end up training for about 4 or 5 hours more per week at least.
And at Rotherham, at Wrexham, you guys have got loads of goalies. At Rotherham, we've got me, Vic, and one young lad. That's literally
that's it.
That's the maximum we have. And obviously, if one of us is not training for whatever reason, or if the young lad wants to play in a game or something, we're
down to bare bones.
Yeah,
almost,
we're sort of 2-3 goalies. So resources like that are a bit sort of bit lower, but that just depends on the pitches, really.
Yeah,
you could play. I look at like top goalies in the Prem, and I think they can have as many gloves as they want from whatever brand. They don't need many because the pitches, even their training pitches, are so good that they're not diving around in mucky goalie areas. Do you know what I mean? The pitches are perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
So that all depends. But I do like a new glove. I could stick them on and play straight away, really.
Yep.
Whereas before, I used to train with them once, but I would. I would do
still break
20 volleys on a Friday if I was playing on a Saturday with my new pair of gloves, but I could just put them on and play with them. They're that good.
Yeah, right. Before I ask the final few questions, what's your release away from football?
I love golf, mate.
Yeah. I know we said this off air. Yeah. Big golfer.
I love playing golf. Haven't really played all that much, to be honest, because the weather's been so bad, up north.
All the courses are just water.
I know, yeah. So, yeah. Golf is my real getaway sort of thing.
Don't let the missus hear you say that too much.
No, yeah. Obviously, spending time with missus, I've got a dog and my family and her family. Because we live away from home. They sort of come to us, do you know what I mean, more than we go to them. It's like a little weekend away for them. So it's nice. With the football and the schedule things, we don't get back all that often. So it's nice when our families come up and see us.
Yeah. It's also with the days off and that. If you only get a Sunday off, you're not going to drive back on a Saturday night to then drive back on. You can't drive back Monday morning. So,
and it is just that little bit too far.
It's too far,
Like, we either go back to sort of Hornchurch or we go down to Brighton, and it's sort of like, it's 3.5-4 hours, do you know what I mean? Which is a lot of driving, so we don't really like to do it that often, but if we get a few days off, we will come back.
Yeah, nice. Right, and then finally, what does the Goalkeepers Union mean to you?
I think it's massive, mate. Like, I really do. Like, I've touched on already, like, there's not been anyone really that I've not got on with. Even going out to Belgium last year, that was a massive eye-opener for me. Even going out to Belgium and expecting to play, and then I never wanted that lad, Guillaume, to do bad. Do you know what I mean? Never once did I want him to do bad. And we actually, it was a difficult year for everyone at that club. So he had some difficult times playing. But we got on really well. We wanted the best for each other. So, yeah, it was, it's massive, mate. And it gets the best out of everyone. Otherwise, 100%. That awkward tension and that, you just don't need it.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you coming on, Dil. It's been amazing. Obviously, great to hear your story and speak to you and that. And obviously,
no, I've really enjoyed
you're a top
it, mate.
Guy, mate.
Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me,
I wish
me,
you
mate.
All the best going forward. Can I say a massive thank you to our sponsors. Massive thank you to Dylan for coming on. Please make sure you like, comment and subscribe. This has been the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard, and Dylan Phillips.
Cheers,
top
mate.
Top man, mate. Thank you.
What a save from Mark Howard.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.